Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Today we are reading from the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 7, entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. And we're going to be starting at verse 4 to 8 and maybe beyond. Maybe. Which one is this? This is verse 8. Please repeat after me. Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro. Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro. Duranta Viryo Avitat Abhisandihi. Duranto viryo vitatabhi sandhihi. Complicated. Kritva vapuhu kachapam adbhutam mahat. Kritva vapu kachapam adbhutam mahat. Pravishya toyam girim ujahara. Pravishya toyam girim ujahara. Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Duranta viryo vitatabhi sandihi.
Duranta
Kritva vapu kachapam adbhutam mahat.
Kritva vapu kachapam adbhutam mahat.
Pravishya toyam girim ujharaha.
Pravishya toyam girim ujharaha.
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Duranta viryo avitata bisandihi.
Duranta viryo.
Kritva vapuhu kachapam adbhutam mahat.
Kritva vapuhu kachapam adbhutam mahat.
Pravishya toyam girim ujaraha.
Pravishya toyam girim
ujaraha. Others?
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Duranta viryo vitata visandhihi.
Duranta viryo vitata visandhihi.
Kritva
vapuhu kachapam adbhutam
mahat.
Pravishya toyam girim ujahara.
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Duranta viryo vitata abhisandhi.
Duranta viryo vitata abhisandhi.
Vavapu kachapam adbhutam mahat.
Kritvavapu kachapam adbhutam mahat.
Pravishya toyam girim ujahara.
Pravishya toyam girim ujahara.
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro.
Duranta viryo vitata abhisandhihi.
Duranta viryo vitata abhisandhihi.
Vavapu kachapam adbhutam mahat.
Vavapu kachapam adbhutam mahat.
Pravishya toyam girim ujahara.
Pravishya toyam girim ujahara.
Masaji? Oh, somebody else, go ahead. Go, no.
Vilokya Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro.
Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro.
Duranta Vidyo Vitatha Visandhi.
Duranta Vidyo Vitatha Visandhi.
Kritva Vato Kachapam Advutam Mahat.
Kritva Vato Kachapam Advutam Mahat.
Pravishya Toyam Girim Pujahara.
Pravishya Toyam Girim Pujahara. Duranta video vidita visandhi.
Vitatas vidita visandhi.
Kritva vaku kachapam advutam mahat. Pravishya toyam girim pujahara.
So I'll read the previous verses before we do the word for word. Thus the demons remained silent, opposing the desire of the demigods. Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personality of Godhead smiled. Without discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake. And the demigods followed him. After thus adjusting how the snake was to be held, the sons of Kashyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activities, desiring to get nectar by the churning of the ocean of milk. O son of Pandu, O son of the Pandu dynasty, when the Mandara mountain was thus being used as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, it had no support, and therefore held by the strong hands of the demigods and demons, it sank into the water. Because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed and their faces seemed to shrivel. Now today's verse. Please repeat after me. Vilokya, observing. Vigna, the obstruction. The sinking of the mountain. Isha vidhim, by the providential arrangement. Tada, then. Ishwaraha, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Duranta viryaha, inconceivably powerful. Avitataha, infallible. Abhisandhihi, whose determination? Kritva, expanding. Vapuhu, body. Kachapam, tortoise. Adbhutam, wonderful. Mahat, very great. Pravishya, entering. Toyam, the water. Girim, the mountain. Mandara. Ujahara, lifted. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimited powerful Lord, well, He is the one whose will, seeing the situation which had been created by the Supreme, He is the one who is the Supreme, who is creating the situation. It's like there's a separate one, you know. The unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entering the water and lifted the great Mandara mountain. Please repeat after me. Seeing the situation
that had been created
by the will of the Supreme,
the unlimitedly powerful Lord,
whose determination is infallible,
took the wonderful shape
of a tortoise, entered the water,
and lifted the great Mandara mountain.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah,
here is evidence that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a supreme controller of everything. So it's unusually appearing the way it's written. And of course we see it sometimes in other places, even when Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, that he's speaking about providence, right? Or some, the time factor. But these things are actually also him who is doing it. So in this it says that Krishna, seeing the situation created by the will of the Supreme, well, who is that Supreme? It's he himself. So he's seeing the situation that he is himself created. So now he's going to do something about it. But it's the way it's written, it's as if some other force is supreme who's created that situation. But it's not. It's like when Balaram, you know, when he sees he's on Pralambasura Surin, and it, you know, he has to think about it, as if he had to think about it. He already knew what was going on, but he, otherwise there's no pastime there. He has to make it appear. It's a whole play that he is doing these things. Just like it's described in the Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami is describing that in the Pancharatra, when you go to the pujari room, you know, you're supposed to knock on the, when you enter to the Lord's room, you're supposed to knock on the door. But the Lord is the super soul in the heart. He knows you're there. He's in your knuckles, which you're knocking under. He's the door. Everything is the Lord's energy. And plus, He's in your heart. So He knows what you're doing. And He knows you're there. But still, you should knock on the door. Why? Because if Krishna came to your house, He'd knock on the door. But He doesn't barge in. He would knock on the door because He's a gentleman. So we should also treat him with respect that way. So Krishna sometimes, he creates situations which appear contradictory. They're like as if he's not the supreme who created the situation. As we have previously described, there are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods. But neither of them is supremely powerful. So what's the difference between the demons and the demigods? We discussed that yesterday. What's the difference? The demigods trust Krishna. The demons don't trust Him. Right? When the demons saw Krishna, Krishna was holding the head of the snake for the benefit of the demons. But they didn't trust Him. They thought, that's the prestigious end. That's why Krishna is holding it. There must be something prestigious about it. That's why Krishna is doing it. So we want the prestige, you know. But neither of them is supremely powerful. Everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the supreme power. So what are those? Those are the three kleshas. Adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidhaivik. Adibhautik, adidaivik, we can understand. You know, we had the other persons, and like when you had that cold weather, you have to tolerate these things. But sometimes one of the most difficult things to tolerate is your own body, your own mind, which gives us so much trouble. So when Lord Chaitanya explains, you know, that Trinadapi Sunichena Tororapi Sahishnana Amanina Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And also in the second chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Matra sparshas tu kanteya sitoshna sukha dukkada agama payanas nityas tam titikshishva bharata. That one, that the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course of time are like the appearance and disappearance of the summer and winter season. They arise due to sense perception, or sayana bharata. One must learn how to tolerate them and not be disturbed. So, one of the big things we have to, whether, you know, it's one thing to tolerate other people and other conditions, but the thing which we really have to tolerate the most is ourself. our own bodies, our own mind, the problems that we have, all the different trips that we go through. That sometimes is we're not so tolerant of our own self as we are of other people. Because the main problem is going to come from us. Our own mental conditions, our own physical distresses. And we get all, many people get very distressed by that. Because they don't tolerate themselves. The demons regard these hindrances as mere accidents or chance. But devotees accept them to be the acts of the supreme ruler. So here again, the idea that the asuras, they don't want to accept that there's any controller. Everything just happens by chance. That's the favorite word by modern science. It's chance, it's an accident of nature. There's no supreme controller in control. When faced with hindrances, therefore devotees pray to the Lord. What's that verse? Tate nu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Devotees in that, the whole verse is that devotee who tolerates all the sinful, all the reactions of their sinful activities, and still in such a condition, they offer the Lord their obeisances and prayers and try to serve Him. Such a devotee, for such a devotee, liberation is their birthright. They don't allow anything to stop them. That's like, Srila Prabhupada often makes the point that there's nothing material which can stop devotional service. The only thing which can stop devotional service is our own mind, is our own desire not to do it. If we want to perform devotional service, then no matter what condition we are in, we can do it. Nothing can stop us. You can always do something progressive in your life, no matter what condition you are in. Nothing can stop you if you want to. Srila Prabhupada gave the perfect example himself. At the age of 70, he left the security of Vrindavan. You know, he didn't know what was going to happen when he came to North America. He thought, as soon as I tell them, no meat, no sex, no alcohol, no gambling, they're going to throw me out of the country. What am I going to do here? Because he had the experience when his godbrothers went to England, Bhaktisanta sent his godbrothers to England. So they met the Marquis of Jutland, who Srila Prabhupada, he had met him. He was a very aristocratic person, very favorable actually. He'd been, I think, the former governor of Bengal. So when one of his godbrothers, the Marquis of Jutland asked him, "So can you make me a Brahmin?" He said, yes, of course. All you have to do is follow these four regular principles. Only pure food, no meat, fish, eggs, any garlic, no drinking, no type of intoxication, coffee, tea, tobacco, alcohol, no illicit sex, and no gambling. The Marquis of Jutland said, "Impossible, impossible. These are the necessities of life." So Srila Prabhupada thought, he's an aristocratic person. What am I going to do when I go to the United States? They're just going to throw me out of the country. But so he was just praying, Krishna, why have you brought me to this place? How did I get here? By supreme providence, Krishna arranged that he came. He didn't know what to expect, but what was the name of that? One of the early devotees, I can't remember his name right now. It'll come to me. He was, this is like on, we're still on 26 Second Avenue. And he was preaching in China, that sannyasi. So he was telling Srila Prabhupada, "You can't speak this way about women. This is America, the feminist movement, women liberation. You can't speak that way about, Prabhupada said, I cannot change the truth for the Americans. I cannot change the truth for the Americans. Because, you know, because Bhaktisiddhanta, was a famous statement by him saying that if I were to deviate from speaking exact truth of the Shastra, then I would become an enemy of the Vedas. I would become an atheist. He who compromises is finished. Your spiritual life is finished. If you compromise, your spiritual life is finished. So that's why Srila Prabhupada said, I cannot change the truth for the Americans. So devotees endure hindrances, accepting them to be caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and regarding them as benedictions. Demons, however, being unable to understand the Supreme Controller, regard such hindrances as accidental. And therefore they think they have to put in like a five-year planning commissions to figure out what they're going to do next to go around these problems, that they will, you know, they'll solve the problems. And Srila Prabhupada, one time, they were walking, I think, on the roof in Mayapur, near Prabhupada's quarters, and they spotted a bird's nest. And Prabhupada said, this bird kept me up all night. So he told Hari Sori to fix the problem. So Hari Sori, I think he moved the nest or something, and then the bird came back, and even though the causes of his problem was standing right there, the bird couldn't figure it out. The bird kept trying to, you know, build a new nest, and Hari Sori would go, and when the bird left, he would go and take whatever straw was, and the bird kept coming, and everything was gone, and the bird couldn't figure it out. You know, he thought maybe it was an accident. Though the cause of his problem was standing there, just 10 feet away, he couldn't see. Could not see who was causing the problem. So Prabhupada says, just see that here we are standing, we're the ones who are doing it, but the bird can't understand. In the same way, Krishna is creating all the situations around us, and you know, we're in Krishna's energy, everything, but we can't see Krishna. Just like this bird can't understand that we are the ones that took the nest away. We are the one that every time he leaves a straw and he goes, yeah, another one, that the previous straw he put is gone. He can't understand it. So we're like that bird. We can't figure out what is happening to us. And another time Prabhupada was speaking of birds. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking on a morning walk, right? And he sees a bunch of, you know that story? He has a bunch of bird stool on the ground. And he says to his disciples, what does this mean? So what does it mean? It's a bunch of bird stool on the ground. What does it mean? Nobody could figure it out. He says the bird is so attached to sitting in this one place. That's why there's all a collection of bird stool there. Even the bird is attached to that one spot. He always comes to that one spot out of attachment. And that's why, since you can nature study, Prabhupada always emphasizes nature study. You, from studying nature, you can understand so many things. So that because there was a large concatenation of bird stool, we can understand that there's some bird who is attached to sitting in that one spot. Srila Prabhupada would often do that. In the morning walk conversation, sometimes he would just chant japa. Other times, he would do mock debates with his disciples, as his disciples were the rascal asuras and scientists, and get them to pose challenging questions, and then he would just smash them, training them how to fight. It was his will that there were hindrances, and by his will, those hindrances were removed. See, that's the situation here. It says, seeing the situation created by the will of the Supreme. So, by his will, the hindrances were created, and by his will, the hindrances were removed. The Lord appeared as a tortoise to support the great mountain. Shitir iha vipulatare tabatishta priste. The Lord held the great mountain on his back. Keshavadrita kurma sharira jaya jagadish hare. Dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they can also be removed by Him. This is known to devotees, but demons cannot understand it. So the hindrances and the dangers that Krishna creates, He does it on purpose, not by accident, and for the benefit of those devotees. Just like our Prahlad was put into a very dangerous situation, so that he could be even more meditating on the Lord. And then the Lord came to show the glories of Prahlad. All of it, or the Pandavas, because Prahlad only went through one trial. He was only a 5-year-old boy, and it didn't, went on for a few months with his father. But the Pandavas, it was like a whole thing that went on for decades and decades. So many problems. So many problems with him. Krishna would come, he would sometimes cry about the problem. But he was the one who was creating the problems. But he's crying how bad it is that how they were cheated and this and that. Krishna's, he'd hear all these stories and he'd get very upset and like that. But ultimately he's the one who created all those problems. That's why he's always smiling. Often he's always smiling. When Abhimanyu was killed, Arjuna, Ghatotkacha, that was an interesting one. When Ghatotkacha was killed, because the Karna had this very powerful weapon, he was saving it to kill Arjuna. But Ghatotkacha, Bhima's son, by the Rakshashi, he was fighting so powerfully that Karna was obligated to use the weapon. Either that or he was going to be killed. So when he was killed, everybody was morose. Yudhisthira was crying and everybody was all... But Krishna was jumping for joy. Literally, he was jumping. He was... he was practically, he was jumping up and down. Everybody else is wondering, what's wrong with you, Krishna? What's wrong? Everybody else is weeping and crying. Because now Arjuna is saved. I was completely worrying that if this weapon wasn't used, it would be used on Arjuna. Because actually, Ghatotkacha, he's a Rakshasa. So he deserves to be killed. Even they're our ally, but Rakshasas, they're Rakshasas. So Krishna can sometimes act in very apparently contradictory ways. Everybody thought Krishna was acting very strange when he started dancing at the death of their son. Verse 9. When the demigods and the demons saw that the Mandara mountain had been lifted, they were enlivened and encouraged to begin churning again. The mountain rested on the back of the great tortoise, which extended for 800,000 miles like a large island. 800,000 miles. So that would be 1,000 times... No, 100... 100 times the diameter of the earth. Because the earth is diameter of 8,000 miles, so it's 800,000 miles. So this is obviously not taking place here. It's taking place in another place. Because, for example, like the Nrisimhadev's pastimes, which we're going to be celebrating next week, or tomorrow, or the day after, though there are places like Hobilam, which is a big chetra for Nrisimhadev, or just today I was reading about what's that place in Mayapur? Nrisimhapalli. They say this is the place where Nrisimhadev washed his hands after killing Hiranyakashipu. That's the same that they say in the Hobalam. There's one, there's a, in the Hobalam, there's lower Hobalam, there's upper Hobalam, and there's upper Hobalam, where there's 9 different temples. I went there in 82. But there's a place where Prahlad was thrown off this cliff, you know, a little tiny little cliff, about 12 feet tall. And there's another place. And then there's, there's this beautiful stream. It's idyllic, where they say that Shrigadev washed his hands. It's probably the only stream in all of India that's not completely full of garbage, just because it's in the jungle, you know. It's purely clean. But so this topic was brought up to Srila Prabhupada, because there's different places saying where Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. And he says that we are not interested in these histories. It didn't happen on this, in this world. It happened in the higher planets. It happened in the higher planets. So they're commemorated. Just like, you know, Vrindavan, which we have Gokula Vrindavan, is an embassy of the actual Goloka Vrindavan. So that the fact that the Mandara Mountain is 800,000 miles in diameter, I mean, Kurma. And the Kurma was 800,000 miles in diameter. So that obviously did not take place in Toronto. Not out in the in Lake Ontario. You know, it took place in a different place, you know. Because it's the whole material world is a lot bigger than what we think it is. You know, it goes spreads out. The Mood Mandala spreads out in all directions. Chapter 10. O King, when the demigods and demons, by the strength of their arms, rotated Mandara Mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountain as a means of scratching his body. And thus he felt a pleasing sensation. He had a transcendental itch, which was getting scratched. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always the unlimited. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his body as a tortoise, held on his back the largest of mountains, Mandara Parvata, he did not feel any inconvenience. On the contrary, he apparently felt some itching, and thus the rotation of the mountain was certainly very pleasing to him. Verse 11. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion. The demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy. So even, it's like Prahlad said to Hiranyakashipu, that when Hiranyakashipu asked him, where are you getting this power? And Prahlad said, the same place you're getting yours. The same one is giving you power, the same one is giving you power. Of course, Hiranyakashipu didn't like that, because he thought he was the supreme. Oopsie, here the demons are getting their power from Krishna. He enters into them and gives them power. Rajas. Purport. Everyone in this material world, is under the different modes of material nature. There are 3 different parties in the churning of the Mandara Mountain: the demigods, who are in the mode of goodness; the demons, who are in the mode of passion; and the snake Vasuki, who was in the mode of ignorance. Since they were all becoming tired, Vasuki, so much that he was almost going to die. Imagine if he had all these big, you know, husky, they're big, they're very big demigods, and they're grabbing you and from different ends and then pulling on you. They would kill people that way in the old days. You know, there was a method of execution, a very grim method of execution that they would use, like, specifically for traitors. It's called hung, drawn, and quartered. First, they would hang you, but just before you died, they cut the rope. Then they lay you down, they eviscerate you and pull your intestines out. Before you died from that, they had you attached, each limb attached to a big, strong horse, and they would pull until you popped. So that's how Vasuki was feeling, being pulled in opposite directions by the demigods and the demons. And these are very strong people. Even though they were not able to completely lift it, they were able to carry the Mandara mountain for a certain weight before they dropped it. So that's why he was feeling he's just about to die. So Lord Vishnu, to encourage them to continue the work of churning the ocean, entered into them according to their respective modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Because Vasuki is an animal, so he's in the tamagun. Of course, a very powerful being. And these nagas, of course, they can change their shape. It's like we see over here. The Naga Patnis. The bottom portion is serpent and the top portion is human looking. And they can, of course, sometimes appear completely as humans. Like when Takshaka came to kill Parikshit, he was not in the form of a snake, he was in the form of a Brahmin. And he bribed Kashyapa Muni. Then he turned into a snake and killed him. Or when Ulupi, Krishna's second wife, not Krishna's, not Arjuna's second wife. He was taking a bath. All of a sudden, this Naga girl, she grabbed him by the foot and dragged him into Nagaloka. And she appeared as a human female. And also, there was a rishi, I think his name was Jatakratu? Jatakarnya. The beginning of the Mahabharata. He just wandered through the world, specifically wandering through the forest. And his name meant that his home was wherever he happened to be when the sun set. That was his home. So one day he came upon these so you could say these little rishis, they were hanging upside down on a thread. And these pitris, they were hanging upside down on a thread and a rat was gnawing on the thread and they were going to fall into hell. And he asked them, "So who are you? And why are you in this condition?" He says, "We are pitri devatas and we're hanging this way because our son, our descendant, is not giving us doesn't have a wife and he doesn't have any children who will continue the lineage and continue offering the Pitri Tarpana." He became upset. What rascal is that? I'll go tell him. And he says, "You were that rascal. You haven't got any children. And when you die, then nobody's going to offer us any Tarpana. We're going to die." So he felt bad about it. At the same time, he wasn't really too keen about getting married. Because he's like a very renounced. How renounced can you be? He just wanders, living in the forest, just with tree bark. And wherever he happens to be when the sun sets, that's his home for that night. Then it goes on. So, okay, I'll do it, but under specifications. I'll only marry a girl who's like the same name as me. Like that. She has to have the same name as me. He gave a little list of, but she has to have the same name as I do. So at that time, the Nagas, they were following him because they knew he was going to, because they had been cursed by their mother, Kadru, that they were going to all die in the Sarpa Yagna, Janmajaya. Because they, from previous times, that they're all going to die. So, because Janmajaya had not yet been born, because he's a son of Parikshit. So that curse was still there. So they, as soon as they heard that he'd only get married to such and such a girl with the same name, they took the shoe. So they had a girl by that name, the daughter of one of the, I think maybe even a Vasuki or one of the head Nagas, and they brought her, she produced her, said, "Okay, here she is." She was in a human form. So he married her. But he said, "As soon as there's a child, I'm going. Because that's the only reason he got married, because this is Pitris were saying that he haven't got any descendants. As soon as a child is there, I'm going. Right? And he was also a bit of a, like many of these rishis, like Durvasa, he was a bit of an irascible person. He was easily irritated. Because he had been living in the forest a long time, the Tapasvi, and, you know, not exactly like a GQ type of guy, you know. So one day he was, towards the late afternoon, he was laying there, sleeping with his head resting on the lap of his wife. So she didn't know what to do. Because he had told her, don't disturb me. But at the same time, the sun was setting. And if the sun set, and he didn't do his Sandhya Vandanam, then that would also be a sin for him. So she didn't know what she should do. Because I think he'd also said that if you get me angry, I'll also leave. If you disobey me, something like that, I'll leave. Sort of like when Ganga made that deal with what was Bhima's father's name? Shantanu. She made a deal with Shantanu. I'll stay with you as long as you never chastise me. So then, you know, she threw her seven sons into the Ganga. So when he went, so he tolerated that. But when she was going to throw the eighth one in, then he chastised. Then she, you know, they call it a prenuptial agreement. You know, prenuptial. So prenuptial is not a new thing. They existed then also, prenuptial agreements. They were actually quite common, prenuptial agreements. But so they had a prenuptial agreement that if she ever, you know, got him angry, or she ever did something against his wishes, then he would just leave. So now she didn't know what, she was in a dilemma. If she didn't wake him up, if she woke him up, she'd be disobeying him. If she didn't wake him up, then he wouldn't do his Sandhya Vandanam. So she didn't know what to do. So she woke him up, because she thought there would be a greater sin to not wake him up. But then he says, he became angry with her. Says, the sun will not set unless I say it, because he is so strong so much tapasya. See, the sun hasn't set yet. The sun will not set unless I, you know, say it. Just like that one lady who, because her husband had been cursed by Manduka Rishi, she had so much, because of her, she was a pativrata. He said, and then the sun won't rise. And that created a huge disturbance in the universe because the sun didn't rise. Because of her pativrata, she had so much tapasya. But then he said, I'm going to go. I'm leaving. And the girl said, well, you can't, I mean, there's no child. Don't worry, because they already had done the Garbhadhan Samskar. You are pregnant. Don't worry about that. I'm fulfilling my vow. You already are pregnant. So I'm going now. So that boy was, so she was in the form, though she was a Naga girl, they could assume human forms. But the natural form is that of a snake, serpent. What time is it? I can't see. So it's time to... Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu?
I have a sort of two questions.
Okay.
One is like, the question is, how big was the Parvat?
It doesn't. The dimensions are not mentioned here, but it must have been pretty big. If Kormadeva had to, if he was going to hold him, he had to manifest. You know, it would be 100,000 yojanas. He expanded to 100,000 yojanas, 300,000 miles. So we have to find. This isn't mentioned what the dimensions of Mandara Mountain is. It doesn't say, not at least not in this text. It doesn't say. So far, I haven't seen.
But he's
very large.
So big.
Yeah.
How big was the demigod? Because when they were.
Yeah, they also were very big.
They were very big. Standing, their water was under the knee.
Yeah, yeah. They were huge.
mountain was.
They could manifest just like Hanuman. He could make himself, he could, you know, tiny, pass through a keyhole. Or he could make himself huge. Huge as anything. In fact, you know, Bhima, when Bhima tripped over him, when Bhima was going to, what was he trying to do? He was trying to find something for Draupadi. I have to say one thing before I do anything. I keep seeing this. How come nobody cleans those cobwebs out of the corner? I'm always seeing that. Nobody else seems to see those. Why nobody's cleaning the cobwebs out of that corner? Can somebody do that today? They're looking at the floor, cleaning the floor very carefully, but they never look up. Please, somebody clean those cobwebs. So when Bhima met Hanuman, he was overjoyed because Bhima was his brother. Right? What happened? Because what it was is he was going, and there's monkeys, old monkeys lying there, and his tail is laying across the path. So Bhima, you know, sort of like almost kicked him. Says, "Get you old monkey! Get your tail out! I want to go. I'm trying to do something, you know." So he said, "I'm an old monkey, and I'm tired. You move my tail." Like that. So Bhima, you know, it's like grabs the monkey's tail. You know, he almost got a hernia. He couldn't budge at all. And he's, you know, the bracelets on his arms were bursting, and you know his belt, you know, he just couldn't move it. You know, he's like, so he started to, you know, this not be an ordinary monkey. You know? And he found out it was his brother Hanuman. Then he was like, oh, completely overjoyed, totally overjoyed that he met his brother. He wanted to see, please show me that form that you did when you jumped over to Lanka. I was like, I can't do that. That was in a previous yuga. And not just size of people change. The whole continents change sizes in different yugas. Things expand and contract. Everything changes in size, not just the people. Arjuna was approximately 18 feet tall. He was 12 feet tall and the arrows were 18 feet long, or he was 18 feet tall and the arrows were 12 feet long. I can't remember which one. I think it's 18 and 12. He was 18 feet tall. And Muchukunda thought he was a midget. But Muchukunda was even bigger because he was from a previous yuga. So they're huge. And they can, of course, get bigger or smaller. Hanuman, tiny little monkey, or huge size, because they had that mystical, and not just monkey, he could turn himself into any form he wanted. Any form he could be. When he came to Ram and Lakshman, he didn't come in the form of a monkey, he came in the form of a Brahmin. So they had great mystic powers. So these devas and asuras, they were very large. Very large for them. So the ocean, then that ocean was extremely deep by our calculation. But like I said, they're only up to their knees. If you cross the Kaveri River, you might get your ankles wet. You go to Sri Rangam, the Kaveri is so shallow, you're lucky if you get your knee wet. you get your ankles wet maybe. But for the little birds, it's very deep. For the ants, they'll be all drowned in it. But for us, you know, it's just up to their ankles. But they can, because they have great powers, they're not like us. They have tremendous powers, the devas and the asuras. But even though they have so many powers, they're not as powerful as Lord Vishnu. But that's your second question or your first?
Yeah, second question is, you're saying that Prabhupada, he didn't compromise.
No compromise.
So how do we use the word time, circumstances? Time, circumstances, and place.
Time, kala, desha, patra.
Yeah,
that's not compromising. That's, for example, in geometry, trigonometry, there's the Pythagorean theorem. The square of the two sides is equal to the square of the hypotenuse. Now, you can use that in constructing a building. You can use that for measuring a field. So according to the time, the place, and the circumstance, you use that formula. But the formula doesn't change. It's still A squared plus B squared is equal to the hypotenuse squared. But according to the time, what are you going to use it for? You're going to use it for, you know, making squares on your piece of paper, or you're going to use it for, you know, making sure that the measurements in the building are correct, or the field, or, you know, that's time, place, and circumstance. But that formula never changed. Understand? The formula never changed. But the time you apply it, the place, and the circumstances, those are different. Those will all be different. So you have to know how to apply the formula in all different situations. But you can't change the formula. Otherwise, it's not true anymore. Right? That's a geometry. Simple mathematical application.
So, Prabhu, to add to this one, that means don't change the formula. Maybe, you know, then it doesn't change the situation like Srila Prabhupada, when he came, okay, those four principles, no meat eating, all those things are there. But he lived into a place, it mentioned that the freezer, the refrigerator has
meat.
A lot of stuff. So he knew from heart. He knew from heart, this is not the right thing. So the principle didn't change.
The thing is, there is also, what do you do in times of difficulties?
Yes.
Like the example of Manu Samhita, says that if you are forced to miss six meals, you can eat anything because you have to survive. Yeah, what do you do in situations of emergency situations? So she's probably going to have a choice. Karma only accrues when you have choices. If you don't have a choice, there's no karma. If you have a choice, then there is karma. Like, you know, if the bank robber goes into the bank and puts a gun to the teller's head and says, open the safe, the police are not going to arrest the teller. The police are not going to arrest the teller because the teller didn't have a choice. Bank robber they're going to arrest, but not the teller didn't have a choice. Either I open the safe or I get my brains blown out, you know. So karma only accrues. So that when there's emergency situations, then there's emergency behavior. But when that situation no longer exists, you can't continue with that. You have to go back to following the other principles, the proper principles. That's that's a time point. Yeah. It's an emergency. You know, it's against the, so exceptions to the rule must be exceptional. Otherwise, they create violence to the rule. That's the principle of Mimamsa. Exceptions to the rule must be exceptional. Otherwise, they create violence to the rule. So, like if, you know, somebody attacks you, you can kill them in self-defense. Not just because you didn't like, you know, the color of their car, road rage or something. That's not acceptable. Has to be some extraordinary reason there. So Srila Prabhupada was, you know, either that or he's living. He's an old man in a strange country. He came as an old man to a strange country with $5. With $5, he came, and he was homeless practically for the first. He said he was just loitering in the streets, loitering. He knew so much about New York City because he's loitered a lot. Because he was talking so much about how he knew this and how he knew that, because he was just wandering around, observing people. And one time he had a roommate, what was his name, David, I think it was. And the guy dropped a little acid. He almost killed Prabhupada. So Prabhupada had to leave the place because the guy went nuts. He was going to kill Srila Prabhupada. So he took risks. Took risks, but in web design there's a concept of cascading style sheets that according to a different level, a different rule, and hierarchy of rules are there. So some rules supersede other rules. Oh, he was... Then anyway, the person said, don't worry about the meat. The meat is for my cat. The meat is for the cat. I'm not eating the meat. The cat's eating the meat. I think his name was Carl. I think his name was Carl. He was staying in Carl's house.
So, we came a little late. So, in this one, what is the talk about devatas and the demons? The devatas understand what is happening, bad thing of all those inconveniences are there because of their previous karmas. Whereas the demons, they have no understanding of karmas. The past karmas can fructify now in this life and those can be inconvenience. So they take one of, okay, so today we have some problems.
Well, we were discussing earlier that would really differentiate, because in the earlier chapter, in the seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu, he knew the philosophy. Because after Hiranyaksha's wife, after he died, he explained, he told the whole story of that, when Yamaraj came, they knew the philosophy of karma and this and that. But the main thing is, when they want to, that what they call devil cite scripture, when it's convenient to them, they spout philosophy. But the earlier in the verse, in the chapter, the beginning of the chapter, Lord Vishnu is holding the head of the serpent. Right? So the demons are thinking, why? If he's holding the head of the serpent, it must be something special. It must be the better part. You know? So therefore, we should be holding it because we are superior. But actually, the reason Lord Vishnu was holding it was the head of the serpent is the dangerous part. And he was, because he was trying to benefit the demons, trying to protect them, that's why he was holding it. But why are they demons? They don't trust him. Whereas the demigods, they have faith. They trust Krishna that he has only their best intentions at heart. But the demons, they don't trust that. They're thinking, that must be the better side. We want that side. Not the back end. But everybody knows it's the front end of the snake that kills everybody. Not the back end of the snake. Nobody ever got killed by the back end of the snake. Everybody gets killed by the front end of the snake. So he was trying to protect them. But they never thought that he had their best interest at heart. They didn't trust him. That's the difference between a demon and a devotee. The devotees trust Krishna. The demons don't trust him. That's basically what it is. They have no faith. Trust means faith. They don't trust that whenever something happens to us, it's for our benefit. They think, it's just an accident. It was a mistake. I made a mistake. Next time I'll do it better. I won't get caught next time. That's the difference ultimately. One group trusts Krishna, the other group doesn't trust Krishna. So even if something apparently terrible happens to a devotee, he thinks Krishna allowed it to happen. Must be for my good. Must be for my tatain nukampam susamikshamano. That Lord Brahma prays that whatever happens, such a devotee, that they see it as simply a reaction of their own sinful activities, and they continue to serve and worship the Lord with all their heart. And to such a person, liberation is their birthright. That's their birthright. Just like the son inherits the property of the father. The same way property says this. In the same way that person, they inherit liberation. No extra endeavor. Because they simply accept it. They become detached from these things, expectations. So Krishna tests. How much do you trust him? So that what's that? That game that they do in the corporate world, for promoting team coherence. Somebody will stand there and then you have to fall and trust that your team members are going to catch you. Right? You didn't know about that. And you just sort of close your eyes and you just let fall, and you and the team members are supposed to catch you. Well, they don't think Krishna's going to catch when you let yourself go. You know, they don't believe that Krishna catches. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Does it mention anywhere what ocean was being churned?
The milk ocean.
Is it the milk ocean? So how did they get entry to the milk ocean? These demons are not supposed to.
Say again?
Demons are not supposed to have entry into the milk ocean.
Well, they made a truce. The previous chapter was how they made a truce. To, you know, in order to, because they had a similar objective, just like during the Second World War. See, the British and Americans are enemies of the Soviets, but because they had another common enemy, then they, you know, politics makes for strange bedfellows, is an expression. So they had, since they had a mutual, they had a similar objective, then they made a truce. With both sides thinking that we'll, when we get the milk, we'll rip off the other side. Like, you know, like in these drug deals, rip off. It's like a drug deal that went wrong, you know. The people with the drugs think they're going to kill the people with the money and get the money and not sell the drugs. And the people with the money think they'll kill the drug dealers and get the drugs without having to pay for them. So that's what they thought. That both the devas and the demons thought they would do they'd rip off the other party. And we'll get the demons to help us. When we get Amrita, we won't give it to them. And the demons were thinking the same thing. We'll get the devas to help us, and when we get it, we won't give them any. But Krishna was on the side of the devas, because he didn't want the demons to get any.
So milk ocean is above the Brahmaloka, right? Milk ocean is above Brahmaloka?
No, not above Brahmaloka. There are different... First of all, there's the Bhu Loka spreads out, not just our world, but it spreads out across the whole universe. You know, the 14 worlds, 7 above and 7 below. So we're on, it's a plane which extends out. And then that's in a 3-dimensional, but there's other dimensions which we can't see. It's like when Arjuna was going to get wealth for Yudhishthira to do the Rajasuya sacrifice. When he came to Uttara Kuru, everybody there is invisible. And some of them came and made themselves visible. You can't come here. That was the only place Arjuna didn't go. They told him, don't come, that's the only place. But because they had respect for Yudhishthir, they gave tribute. But he didn't force them to. Only because they had respect. They said, you can't come here. So there are places, you know, we only see in 3 dimensions. We have limited vision. We only see through a very narrow spectrum of the whole electromagnetic spectrum. We can't see ultraviolet. If we could see everything, then if we were to look at the Earth planet would be a globe with surrounded by a big donut. That's called the Van Allen Belt. Or I saw one, I think it was the Discovery Channel or something a few years ago. There's these hawks, a certain type of hawk, which they were able to catch some small rodents. Why? Because the rodent's urine gave off ultraviolet light, and these hawks, they could see the ultraviolet spectrum. So we don't see anything, but the hawk can see this big trail of ultraviolet pee. You know, the rodent peed everywhere. He was going on this trail. It's all glows like a blue light is. You know, remember those? They glow. They glow in the dark, but you have to have a special ultraviolet light. So for the hawk, he can see things like that. So whenever the rodent would walk over it, it would create a shadow. The light would get dim, so you know there's something over there. Then they'd attack and they'd catch the rodent from far distance. Because they see things, they see light spectrums which we don't see. Or like animals, they can hear, dogs, they can hear sound frequencies which we can't hear. We only hear a very narrow spectrum of the sound. We only see a very narrow spectrum of what's visible with light. We can only touch, we can only sense with our skin a very narrow spectrum of temperatures. You know, minus 100 and you won't feel anything. Actually, when it's extreme temperature, cold feels like it's burning. It feels like it's hot, right? All you feel is pain. You don't know whether it's hot or cold. It could be minus 50 or it could be, you know, something else. All you feel is pain. You don't feel what temperature it is. We have limited, very limited, narrow experience. So the point being is that, like I was staying in Soho Street Temple. Now the Soho Street Temple is like 7 or 8 stories tall. You get a good workout of your quadriceps getting to the Brahmacharya Ashram. It's on the 7th floor. But the street address is the same. On the two-dimensional, it's the same street address. But are you on the first floor, or the second floor, or on the third floor, fifth floor? You know, so many different levels, all in the same place. So you go to the moon planet. We see one thing, but on the moon planet, it's a celestial realm. On which floor? There's so many different levels. We have only limited ability to see things.
I'm just going by what was described.
Yeah, yeah. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is also, there are different levels.
I understand. So they talk about the seven planetary systems.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say that in the material universe,
we're talking about Shvetadvipa. Shvetadvipa is another milk ocean.
So that's where the confusion is.
There's two.
It's a different, not the Shvetadvipa.
Yeah, it's a different milk ocean. The Shvetadvipa is in Dhruvaloka.
Okay, thank you. That is the confusion. Because both milk oceans are different.
Yeah, there's just a difference. Shvetadvipa. Shvetadvipa.
Okay. This is not Shvetadvipa.
No, it's not Shvetadvipa.
Oh, okay, thank you.
No, that, not Shvetadvipa. Okay. Any other? Yes.
You started with Narasimha is coming so close. So it has not happened because some, you know, this.
What has not happened?
No, in the past time it has happened on this Bharat Varsha,
but the material world is a very big place. Mm-hmm. Not just Toronto. Toronto is in an obscure corner of the universe.
But it is said that it's near, there's a place called Hyderabad or in that part where
it's Ahobalam. It's a place called Ahobalam. Ahobalam is you have to get off at Kurnool. You have to get off at Kurnool. It's one of the four chetras in the Eastern Ghats. Two are for Vaishnavas and two are for Shaivites. So for the Vaishnavas, it's Tirupati and Ahobalam. And for the Shaivites, it's Kalahasti and Sri Shailam. And it forms the shape of a serpent, I think. So Ahobalam is there. You have to get, it's a sort of a circuitous trip to get there. But they specifically asked Srila Prabhupada that question, and he didn't want to get. He said, "We're not interested in historical details. You know, it happened, and it didn't happen on this plane. Because for example, in Ahobalam, there's a place where Lord Nrisimhadev washed his hands after killing Hiranyakashipu. If you take the stones out of that water and you put them in a pot, the water turns red. I know. I got a whole bunch of them because they are iron, full of iron. And why? What's blood? What's it got in it? Hemoglobin. What's hemoglobin? Hema is Latin for iron. The iron is what makes the blood red. So you take those stones, you put them in a pot, it will turn pink. And the longer it stays in there, the darker it becomes. So, but then the same thing in the Nrisimhapalli, in Navadvip, they say that's the place where Nrisimhadev washed his hands. And the Nrisimhadev, but the thing is that Nrisimhadev only ever come once. Nrisimhadev came many different times.
Yes.
The Goswamis speak about 5 different Varahadevs. 5, there's Shweta Varaha, Rakta Varaha, Yagna Varaha, different Varahadevs came. Not just once. We always tend to think that, you know, what happened in our time slot is the only important thing, you know. our time is different. Our time is the most important time. You know? We live in special times. We don't live in special times. We don't live in special times. 2,000 years ago, Cicero, the associate of Julius Caesar, was complaining, O mores, O tempores, O the times, O the morals. He was complaining that the morality of the age was bad. 2,000 years ago. We're complaining about that now. 2,000 years ago he was complaining about that. The morality of the age had deteriorated. It used to be better before. You know? Everybody always, there's the good old day phenomena. The good old days. Sort of the that as time passes, what happened in the past has the aura of having been better than what it is now. You know? Because we never remember the bad things, we only remember the good things. Maya does that. We only remember the good things that happened in the past. We never remember all the horrible things that happened. Isn't it? Mm. We think back, But because otherwise, if we remembered all the bad things, it might give us some realization. That's one of the things that happens, mentions in Manusamhita, that when a Brahmin perfects his Brahminical life, he is able to remember all of his previous lives in detail. Not just human lives, you know, cockroach lives, worm and stool life, rat life, but every life. And it is so disgusting that he doesn't want to come back again. That's why Krishna says, once coming back, they never return again. Because they remember all of those horrible nightmares. Because people have a tendency to forget. Really, I mean, I saw that, I directly saw that happen. Do you remember that devotee, Yogapati?
Yeah.
I was there when he fell off the roof. December 28th, 10 o'clock in the morning, December 28th, 1977, 10 o'clock in the morning in Hyderabad. I'll try to make it quick. Sometimes you meet people who say, well, I don't remember my last life, therefore it didn't happen. But, this devotee, by his own foolishness, he was trying to run across the top of the front of the facade of the Hyderabad temple. Right? And the wall is that thick, but then it is a beveled, and there's only about this thickness. So he thought he was like Batman or something. He was running across. He got 1 meter. And he fell onto the ledge, and I saw him. I was at the other end of the roof, and he was like trying to grab at the balustrade and fell 3 floors on the pavement. And he almost killed a devotee by landing on him. And he bounced. When I got down there, and he was a mess. A real mess. Blood was coming out of all his orifices, and was in a little stream, the blood was going down a drain. And he had, his jaw was hanging, because he broke his jaw in 3 places, and blood was coming out of his ears, and his legs were shattered. So we brought him to the hospital. You know, and they wouldn't take him in. So who's going to pay for this? I didn't have any money. I was supposed to go buy boga for the deities. You know? I said, we don't get any money. He said, well, we're not going to take him. Said, well, if you don't take him, in about a couple of hours, you're going to have a dead foreigner on your hands, and you explain it to his embassy. He's a Canadian, UK, you know. They thought about it for about 5 seconds. Okay, we'll take him. We'll take him. You know? But then they'd be in really big trouble with their government if a foreign embassy gets on their, breathed down their back, you know. So they immediately took him. So they brought him into the, he hadn't been feeling, at the beginning, because he was in shock, he didn't feel any pain. But as we started going in the ambulance, with no springs over the smooth Indian roads, he started feeling more pain. Then we brought him into the emergency room, into the x-ray room, and he started having to manipulate his limbs to take x-rays. Now, he didn't have a piece of bone in his thigh bigger than a matchstick. I saw the x-ray later. So they were manipulating his limbs, and he was screaming, these blood-curdling screams. Not even in horror movies you hear screams like this. And when he was screaming, blood was flying because he had messed up, you know, his teeth, a third of his teeth had been smashed. And it was flying. And this blood curdling scream. And all of a sudden I noticed that the room was spinning because I hadn't been breathing for about 5 or 10 minutes. I know the doctors are used to seeing these things. I'm not used to seeing these things. I was in going in shock myself. I was about to pass out. And then they hauled him into they did surgery on him without any anesthetic. Because standard procedure, they saw blood coming out of his ears. They thought he had, you know, a fractured skull or something. So you don't want to give any anesthetic or anything. Otherwise, you'll go into a coma. They did the same thing to me. They didn't give me anything because they thought I had a fractured skull. They go into a coma and never recover. So they did surgery on him, removed a third of his teeth, wired his jaw, all without any anesthetic. The next day, he didn't remember anything. Didn't remember anything. I remember, I can see it all happen. It's etched in my mind. Etched in my mind what happened. I saw it all. You know, I was in the operating room. I could hear this. I could hear what was going on. But he did not remember. I think he might remember falling, but he didn't remember any of that other part. You know, it was like blood. The Yamadutas at work. That was his screams. It's like shivers. Like some torture chamber. But he did not remember anything. Did not remember anything. So next time, what to speak of his previous life? He didn't remember what happened to him the day before. The day before, we didn't remember what happened to him. And for years, I couldn't be on. If somebody was standing near a ledge on the roof, I had to leave or tell them to get away from the edge because it was a horrible experience. So, what was this question you asked me? No? Anyway, we should go. Time. Break for sure. Everybody has broke their fast? We should break our fast now. No other questions then? Okay.
Thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Does Yogapati ever come here anymore? Has he ever come here? Yogapati? Yogapati.